He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
Good morning. Thank you for coming into Assurance Baptist Church. Let's all stand and sing.
Same God who never fails will not fail me now.
Let's sing 10,000 Reasons. Shake someone's hand this morning. Something like
that. I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? Trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, but there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. And you'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. He saw it
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. And Revelation 5:12, we read, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and glory and praise. Let us praise our Lord and Savior by singing When Morning Gilds the Skies.
May Jesus Christ be praised.
Christ be praised. Let's continue to praise him by singing Praise Him, Praise Him, page 106. Singing the chorus, there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and away, but there's something about that name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, good morning and welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. We're so glad you're here to worship with us this morning. We want to take this time and welcome any first-time guests or friends we have with us. So if it's your first time at Assurance Baptist Church, if you'd raise your hand, our guy's got a gift for you as a visitor and a little packet there. Just a couple there, bud. Thank you. Bottom part, and then you can drop it in the offering plate at the end. But we're going to get started with a word of prayer this morning, special, before preacher comes and preaches to us, all right? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, the opportunity, God, to come into your house. Lord, for the time of worship that we've already had. Lord, as we move into the preaching hour this morning, I pray that you prepare our hearts, that you'd speak through our pastor, Lord. Give him the words to say, Lord. I pray we'd be convicted by your word this morning, and then that we would apply it to our lives. And God, we pray if there's someone here today that isn't saved, that today they would come to trust you as their Savior. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
That this morning, say amen. Amen. I'm excited to be here this morning. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been on vacation this week, and so I'm refreshed. And so you're just going to have to excuse me because we're going to have church. Now, I'm going to have church whether you want to or not. All right? So me and how the Holy Spirit uses me this morning in this pulpit, we're going to preach. And if you don't say amen and shout hallelujah, I'm going to do it all by myself. And then you're going to go to the church where people talk about the pastor and say, he talks to himself in the pulpit. And so you might just want to get along with this morning, and you might want to have church with me. I'm excited because we are continue and conclude our series on the joy of believing. It's a joy to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. And this morning I'm excited because we're talking about the joy of believing, abiding. In our text this morning, the discourse in the upper room continues. It's Thursday, as we paint the slide. Thursday night, the night before Jesus Christ would go to die on the cross. In chapter 13 of John, you don't have to turn there this morning, but we understand that Jesus washes the apostles' feet after they've had dinner together. He dismisses Judas to go and to betray him. He foretells of Peter's coming denial of him three times. In John chapter 14, we understand that Jesus explains to his apostles that he's going away, but that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We understand in chapter 14 that the promise of the Holy Spirit is given, the Comforter to come, is given to all believers. And where we pick up in chapter 15, we believers are told to abide. To abide means to stay, to continue, to endure. One of the greatest blessings of believing is that we are able to abide, to stay in Christ, and theologians would consider this to be the perseverance of the saints, that Christ abides in us, that he stays, and therefore there's this great church, and it has this great name, and John chapter 15 would explain kind of abiding. It's called Assurance Baptist Church, because we are assured that once we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us, that he abides with us, and that we abide in him. Praise be to God. The joy of believing, abiding this morning. John chapter 15, when you find John chapter 15, we'll be in the very first verse. If you're able, stand with me for the reading in honor of God's word this morning. John 15 and verse 1. And the Bible says, I am the true vine, Jesus is speaking, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Several times the word abide is used here. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Ye that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear, watch this, much fruit. Not just some, but much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken. See, all that Jesus said about abiding, he gives us the reason why. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for abiding in us and allowing us to abide in you. Lord, we are excited today. Because we are believers, we are able to abide. Because we are believers, we are able to be in your love, in your joy. Lord, we are able to bear not just some fruit, but much fruit. Today, Lord, let us see it clearly in your scripture. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The vine was frequently used in the Old Testament as an illustration or a symbol of Israel. There were many vineyards in ancient Israel, grape vineyards, and even on the four columns of the entrance into Herod's temple, the second temple, the temple in Christ's day, there was a large golden vine strewn over those columns, representing Israel as the vine or the path to God. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. He says, I'm not Israel alone. I am the true vine. And through me, Jesus is explaining that all nations are going to be blessed through their belief. So if you're in Jesus, if you're believing, there's a joy in the true vine this morning. He says, my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. And you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are the fruit-producing branches. If you're not in me, there is no fruit. But if you're in me, then you are able to bear much fruit. Judas has been dismissed already. He's that abominable branch. Now, Isaiah 14 talks about the abominable branch being Satan, but all those who come in the spirit of Antichrist are this abominable branch. They are the branches that came out, but they didn't stay. They didn't abide. And so they get cast into the fire and thrown away. The joy of believing, number one, allows us to be abiding in much fruit. Look at verse 5. It allows us to be abiding in much fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know what it tells us? One of the joys is we get to be a part of the blessings. There gets to be fruit to our account. Our missionaries out there, when we give the missions, this is us giving much fruit. It's fruit to our account. Though we're not in South Sudan, we're giving money to South Sudan, and we get to be a part of that. We're a part of the blessing to the people of South Sudan, and we are getting blessed by the people of South Sudan who are being saved. We get to be a part of something amazing. When you're attached to the branch, when you're attached to the vine, you get to be a part of something amazing. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you're a part of him, isn't that the most amazing thing you can be a part of? Isn't Christian the highest calling, the greatest thing? You know, I have an uncle. He's 70 years old now. My Uncle Cliff, he's a retired Marine colonel, and most of my life he was on bases, and he was a very well-to-do man, and my mother's older brother. And Uncle Cliff, still this way. He sent our church money and been a blessing, was at our first service. But as kids, we knew if we would abide with Uncle Cliff, a blessing was coming. When I was 10 years old, the movie Aladdin came out, and it was snowing, and it was crazy, and we were down in Ripley, Ohio, and Uncle Cliff said, I'm going to take those kids to see the new Aladdin movie over in Cincinnati. And they said, oh, it's snowing, Cliff. He said, I'm a Marine. What's that snow got to do with me? And Uncle Cliff drove us down, and we watched the new Aladdin movie. When I was 15 or 16 years old, Uncle Cliff lived out of state, and he was in town, and he said, my nephew's playing basketball, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to be there. And you knew if Uncle Cliff was around, my kids would still say this, Uncle Cliff, he might carry a couple of dollars in his pocket. You might get a $100 bill from Uncle Cliff. That's just kind of guy Uncle Cliff is. Still, and yet, I'm 41 years old, and Uncle Cliff still sends me Christmas presents every year. Good Christmas presents, not just junk stuff, not fruitcakes. Amen. Good stuff. And you know, what I learned about Uncle Cliff is the more you're around Uncle Cliff, there's good fruit there. If you're around Uncle Cliff, but you know what it's also taught me? It's taught me how to produce a little bit. It's taught me, you know why they call me Uncle Pastor Bryson? I learned how to be a great uncle from watching Uncle Cliff. Because Uncle Cliff, he's connected. And so I said, let me get connected to that vine so I can be one of those fruit blessing barriers, one of those fruit blessing fruit trees, and give blessings out to others. So when your kids are running around here acting like they ain't got no sense, and Uncle Pastor Bryson says, oh, it's okay, baby. Just know it didn't come from me. It came from Uncle Cliff. Because me as the branch, I can do nothing without the vine. Amen. And so you don't know my Uncle Cliff. Some of you may have met him. He's about 6'6". He's bigger than me. He's probably the person I most resemble in my family. So the next time he comes to a service or you see him, you can blame him for me allowing your kids to get away with murder. I'm just saying. Because we knew, and listen, we knew if we stood close enough to Uncle Cliff when we was in trouble, I'd be running. I told you I was a bad little kid. I'd be running and acting a fool. And my mama would say, Bryson Ray, get over here. And I knew if I stood by Uncle Cliff would say, now, Denise, I'm your big brother. You leave that boy alone. He's just being a boy. Thank you, Uncle Cliff. I love you. I knew if I just abide with Uncle Cliff, if I just get close enough to Uncle Cliff, that I could abide and there was much positive, much good fruit. Listen, in the same fashion, if you'll just stay, if you'll just remain in Jesus, there's good fruit coming. When the devil cast out accusations, if you remain and abide with Jesus, there's good things coming. When the world casts something in your teeth, if you just remain and abide in Jesus, there's good stuff coming. I'm just saying to you, if you just stay close enough to Jesus, there's good things coming. There's positive fruit. And the closer you stay to Jesus, when you remain and abide, the more you'll learn how to be able to bless others. I don't want to be a bother. I want to be a blessing. And the more I abide in Jesus, the better able I am to bless other people. Because the more I abide in the vine, the more I'll never be the vine, but the closer I am to the vine, the more good fruit I'm able to produce. The joy of believing, abiding in much fruit. I mean, do you really want to produce rotten fruit? You know the bane of my existence, other than snakes, are fruit flies. Isn't a fruit fly a nasty little, no good, rotten creature? I know people have issues with stink bugs. You know, stink bugs and I, we have an understandable relationship. If I see you, you get flushed, right? But you can't catch a fruit fly with your hand. You got to make concoctions of vinegar and Dawn and all kinds of fruit fly traps. You got to do something to get rid of fruit flies. They say, well, put a little piece of fruit in a dish and watch all the fruit flies and catch it. I want to do all that. That's work involved. They say, Pastor Bryson, why do you make them kids cut that grass so much? Because I've learned that the lower the grass is, the less insects, the less bugs, the less snakes, the better off you are as far as those things go. But you know what? Fruit flies don't care nothing about that grass because they want inside. They're not an outside creature. Now, they may live outside, but I ain't never seen one outside. Now, think about this. Have you ever seen a fruit fly outside? You've seen flies outside. You've seen bees outside. You've seen stink bugs outside. I ain't never seen, in 41 years, I've never seen a fruit fly outside. Nobody ever goes to the family picnic and be like, man, those fruit flies are bad today. No, but in your kitchen, they got the audacity, the downright temerity to be all up in your kitchen flying around. I be thinking to myself, we ain't even got no fruit in the house right now. Are these potato flies? No, I'm just saying, not every bit of fruit. But you know what? The devil, he comes to steal. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And they send these evil fruit flies. They're coming around and trying to eat up your fruit. But here's the thing. Them flies can't eat what ain't there. When you're abiding in Jesus Christ as a Christian, there should be much fruit. Now listen, I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this to be real. Missionaries will come and say, oh, I'm going to go over to Spain, or I'm going to go over to Canada, and I'm going to win all these people for Jesus. And then my friend, one of my mentors, Pastor Jeremy Stout, will ask the question, who's the last person you led to the Lord? And if they stutter and stammer and say, he said, if you can't win people in America, why would I pay you to go try to win people in Spain? Amen. If you can't do it in your native language, I know you probably can't do it in Tangalanese. I made that up. That's not a real language. Some of them are like Googling. They're like, what is Tangalanese? I made that up. Sometimes, Pastor Bryson, if you're new here, sometimes we use the BTV version of the Bible, and I just make things up in words, and my poor Southwestern Ohio dialect, that comes out sometimes. Just forgive me. But his point is this. If you're not bearing much fruit in a place that is built for you to bring much fruit, why would I believe that you could do it in a place that's going to be hard for you to do it? Fruit flies ain't going outside because they say, well, we too little, too small. We can't do. There's bees and wasps out here to try to eat fruit flies and hummingbirds. So let us get inside where there's no natural predator inside here. Let us get inside here because people always give me these concoctions. They don't work. They don't work. Yo, you say, oh, I guarantee this is going to happen. Somebody after service is going to say, now, Pastor, have you ever tried this? And I'm just going to tell you right now, don't come up to me and ask me if I tried this, because the answer is yes. I've been on TikTok. I've been on Pinterest. I've been on Google. Listen, I've been searching all the things to get rid of fruit flies, and I know this much. The fruit flies ain't going nowhere, all right? But listen, you know, they come, and they just want to eat up your fruit, but you got to have some fruit to be ate up. When you're in Jesus Christ, Jesus says this. This is a promise. He says, these things I've spoken unto you. Well, the joy of believing is if you're trying, if you're putting any effort in at all, it's impossible for you not to bear fruit. Amen. If you're attached to the vine, I'm not saying everybody you talk to is going to get saved. I'm not saying everybody you invite to church is coming to church. I'm not saying everybody you try to disciple is going to get discipled or get baptized. I'm not saying that everything you do for the Lord is going to work. What I'm saying to you is, if you do it a lot, if you're attached to it, eventually there's going to be, if you just stand close to Uncle Cliff, eventually you're going to be blessed. Not every time did I see Uncle Cliff did he take us to see Aladdin. Not every time did he take us to get an ice cream cone. But I tell you, more times than not, something was going down. Now, I don't just like Uncle Cliff because what he could do for me. I love Uncle Cliff because I love Uncle Cliff. He's a good man. But, you know, it don't take no dummy to know that when Uncle Cliff comes to town, you might want to get near him. Christian, it don't take no dummy to know that Jesus Christ is abiding in you and you in him, that you might want to stay near him. Amen. If you want to see some good things, they say, well, Pastor, I've been looking to get a boat. This ain't that kind of church. Abiding in Jesus ain't going to get you all the money you want. Because abiding in Jesus might mean you're completely broke. But there's other kind of blessings. You listen, I've been praying. I told y'all. Y'all think I'm joking about this. I prayed to God, God, let my hair grow back. Just let me, without Rogaine or Just for Men, or allow my hair to grow back. Because just one time here on earth, one more time, Lord, I'd like to rock my afro. Just one more time. I tried in about 2009. It was a struggle. It didn't go well. There's a family picture of us somewhere where I had a little baby afro. It didn't look good at all. I don't know why my wife didn't tell me to cut it. She didn't. But I pray, God, Lord, I know it's not a big deal, but just let it grow back one more time. I want to get, now some of y'all ain't going to get this, but I want to get the kid in play just one more time where I got the high top Gumby fade with a part in it. Just one more time. I want to look like that. One more time. If the Lord would allow that, you might see your pastor out there in some windbreakers doing some b-boy breakdancing or something like that. I don't know what would happen. But I said one more time, and God said, no. That's not the kind of fruit. That's not the blessing God wants to give me, but he gives me a whole bunch of other blessings. Just because you're standing near the vine or just because you're in the vine don't always mean you're going to get everything that you want. God's not a genie. He's God. But I want you to know this, the joy of believing allow us, number two, to be abiding in much love. Look at verse 10, abiding in much love. Well, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in, watch whose love. He says, my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, what's God the Father's love look like? Well, the Bible says that God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. What's the Son's love look like? Look at verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment that you love one another. Watch this. As I have loved you. This is the Son speaking. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, that's what the Son's look like. Life looks like. He says that you're going to have my love. If you abide in me, you're going to have much love. You're going to love people so much that you'd be willing to give your life for them. You're going to love people so much that you'd be willing to give your son for them. Now, that's what he says. That's a big love, isn't it? You know what I've always thought? It don't take much to fall in love, but it takes a lot to stay in love. It don't take much to fall in love, but it takes a lot to stay in love. To abide is to be committed, staying in the course, to keep up with it. People leave church and, you know, it's fine, but it's because ultimately they don't want to be committed because they don't want to abide. People leave a relationship because they don't want to abide. It's easy. You know, the first couple times you come, everything looks good. When you first see that girl, she looked good, Coke bottle figure, and everything's all good. Then get a little older, she gained a little weight, hair got a little gray. Now listen to me, hear what I'm saying. People say, I don't want to abide in that. Man came out, he looked like Hercules, he's all dieseled up, he had muscles and he had all this. I don't even know what this called, what they call that, the latissimus dorsi or something. I don't know what they call that. I said, that look good, he's looking good. Next thing you know, he got a spare tire figure, you know what I'm talking about? Say, what? What happened to daddy? Daddy used to look good back in his 20s. Daddy, he's the epitome of a dad bod. Listen, I'm proud of my dad bod. I represent it. Listen. Say, oh, it's easy to fall in love because falling in love can be just the mechanics of human life. It can just be what you see with your eyes. But see, staying in love is more than meet the eye. Staying the course is more. Watch this, John 6. John 6, 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Jesus is not a Calvinist. What he's saying is, I know some of you aren't going to come to me because you're going to act like you believe, but these are the people that he says, not everybody I say unto you, Lord, Lord, that says unto me, Lord, Lord. But look at verse 61. Why did they leave? Because many of his disciples didn't follow him anymore, but it says, does this offend you? They are offended at the word of God. They're offended at Jesus. Now, what am I talking about here? Well, that's not love. It doesn't take much to get enamored and to say, I like that at the front, but it takes a lot to stay with it when it's not everything that you want it to begin with. Their belief was based on human effort, not divine love and truth. Much love is more than I'm nice to you or talk sweet to you. Much love is more than just going on dates and hanging out. Much love is what I've been watching in my own personal life. When you get older, you pay attention to more things. And I'm not super sensitive, but there's a couple of things that make me sensitive. When I think about greater love, when I think about how a man's supposed to love his wife, when I get older, as I get older, I watch, and I'm watching this with my own father and mother as she goes through her cancer battle. But abiding love is that love between a man and a wife where when they're sick, they can't do what they used to do. They can't go where they used to go. You spend more time, understand what I'm saying, in the hospital room than you do in the bedroom. When you're going from appointment to appointment, you're up and down the highway for this and rehabilitation. When you can't pick her up like you used to in your arms. When she can't prepare the food or do the things she used to do it because of her health is fading. And see, there's this vow that I keep when I marry people still today. I'll never change it. If you want me to marry you, I married Alex and Lydia, about to marry Matthew and Miranda here soon. And, you know, you say, who's Miranda? Don't worry about that right now. We use government names when we marry people. But I make them say, repeat, in sickness as in health. Because of abiding love. Because I know some turkeys, when somebody gets sick, they be out of there. I met some men I know. I say right here. My sister-in-law had a man, and she got sick, and he out. He won't pay no bills. She going to die in the next 4 or 5 years. In his mind, I'm out of here. I ain't take care of these kids. I'm out of here. But abiding love, love that stays through thick and thin. See, that's the joy of Jesus. That's the joy of believing. When I'm at my lowest, when I'm sick and hurting, when I'm sin sick, when I'm messed up and I got all kinds of issues, Jesus ain't going nowhere. Amen. But you know, it's a reverse. Christian, here's what we got to get. When I'm not getting all the blessings I want, when everything ain't going just right for me, Jesus needs to know you ain't going nowhere. Amen. Because I'm abiding in his love. I've been watching my daddy now. He retired in December. He's 65 years old. My mother's cancer came back, and he ain't got nothing done in his retirement except for taking my mom to hospitals back and forth. And my mom, she's a lot like me. She's not really crying, and she's not really upset, and she's like, I'm going to live. I'm okay. But every time I talk to my dad, now, this is my dad. This is the person that beat me with belts and chased me around and wouldn't allow me to go nowhere and couldn't have my hair long. That's why I wanted my hair long so bad, because we had to have close, cropped hair. We weren't allowed to have no, I ain't never had no cornrows or Jerry Curl. None. My dad wasn't playing none of that kind of stuff. We going to look nice and respectable in his mind. That's how it was. But this is the same man that, you know, I'm a senior in high school. He's talking about your curfew's 9 o'clock. 9 p.m.? Like, where they do that at, Daddy? Like, this is the same man. And now I call him, and he's on the other end of the phone crying. Just love your mom so much. Oh God, I'll just keep on. I don't care if I gotta get up and drive her to Christ Hospital, UC, it don't matter. God, just save her life. He's fully healthy. My dad walked in here, you know, he's 65, he don't look a day over 50. Come in here, he's healthy. He can lift and run. He walks the dog every day. He's perfectly healthy. But he's got a sick wife. But he's abiding. He could just check out and say, I'm done with that. It's more than 1976 when they got married. It's more than just looking back, 1978, excuse me. It's more than just looking back and saying, you know, this is how it used to be when she was young and healthy and vital. It's more than just the looks. It's more than just when we used to be able to do this. Abiding love is a sticking together kind of love. It's the kind of love that Gorilla Glue can't even keep together that sealed. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I watched that and I think to myself, you know, it's a joy in believing that Jesus ain't going nowhere. You ever have one of those days? I have. Where you've been sin sick, you done messed up, and you wonder, now we believe in assurance of salvation, eternal security, but I didn't grow up like that. You ever grow up, you ever have one of those days and you look up at Jesus? Sometimes in my prayer life, I just tell God, I don't even know why you still messing with me. I don't even know why you still talk to me, God. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. You ever have one of those days where you're on your knees or on your face and you just talk to God and you say, God, I've been such a wretch this day. This week I've been messing up. God, why do you even mess with me? It's because he's abiding in me. He ain't going nowhere. And then there's days where I'll be feeling good. Lord, you know, I've been abiding in you all day. I feel good about myself. Some people got saved and Lord, we're growing up and everything looks good. And then I start feeling good about myself. And I got to read the beginning of the verse. But you know what? I can't do nothing without him. Glory. The only reason I'm abiding in him is because he's abiding in me. Glory. Amen. How much love? Well, so much love that love went to pay for my sins. And watch this. Do you realize this? In him on the cross, the Father was not abiding in him. The Father departed and turned his back on him. But while Jesus was dying on the cross, he was still abiding in your sins because he took your sins and my sins upon him. Sin was still abiding in him. So he was still abiding in me and he was still abiding in you and you were still abiding. But then he said, you know what? We're going to take this abidingness, everybody that believes, we're going to take it to the cross. But after the cross, we're going to take it to the grave. And 3 days later, we're all going to abide together in resurrection. Amen. And that should cause you to number three. The joy of believing allows us to abide in much joy. Joy. Look at verse 11. I quote this verse all the time because it brings me much joy. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The reason why I love this verse so much is because the word full is pleroou in the Greek, and it literally means to fill a net. To have a net overfilled. Now, when I think about that, being a fisherman, I think about when the net's too full, I have like a net basket, I keep them in, and I'm like, Brother Anthony will be here tonight, but I'm like the bluegill killer. I don't care. I don't need to catch big fish. I don't need to catch a catfish. It don't got to be a pike. I don't care about game. I just like catching fish. If I went to the lake and I caught 100 bluegill, and they said, that's an easy fish to catch, preacher. So what? If I caught 100 bluegill and you caught one catfish, at the end of the day, the tally said I caught 100, you caught one. And they'd be like, well, you didn't. Your fish were very small and my fish could have ate all your fishes. I don't care. That's not my problem. I just like to have fishes, plural. And so I'm filling the basket and I like it. But you know what that word means is this as well. It means to level up or fill a previously hollow vessel. You're a Bible reader, you know where we're heading with this. Jesus filled an empty tomb with so much God and so much man that those of us who believe our joy is this, we'd ever have to fill an empty tomb. Jesus crammed it full. He overfilled it with his humanity and his Godness. And in that, he overfilled it to the point that the Bible says when we die, we might have a body that goes to the grave, but it says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know why? Because Jesus Christ filled an empty tomb. He said, it's my pleasure. All my Chick-fil-A people said, amen. He said, it's my treasure to fill this tomb in atonement and substitution for you so that you never do have to fill a tomb. Somebody ought to get joy out of that. If you can't hoot and holler and get joy out of the fact that the tomb was filled for you and that the tomb is empty for you, if you don't get joy out of that, your wood must be wet. If you can't get fired up, boy, listen, if you can't get, somebody said to me one time, men's prayer breakfast, I was cooking bacon and I put grease in there. They said, don't you think that bacon is going to have enough grease on it? You think we got to put there? You can't never have enough fat in this meal. This is good old hog bacon. I eat everything on the pig but the squeal. We can put more fat in there. What you talking about? Is it too much grease? Mind your business. Is it too much? When that thing come out and that pan's all crudded and lined up with fat and you look at that thing, you say, I know it might be bad for my arteries, but it's good for my soul. Somebody said amen. That's joy. Amen. That's joy. Amen. That's joy. Now walk with me. Walk with me. Let's walk through the text. Jesus in chapter 13 told Peter, you're going to deny me. In chapter 14, he said, I'm going to go with you wherever you go, Lord. And Jesus says, you can't go where I'm going right now. But afterwards, and Thomas, Lord, how are we going to know where you're going if you don't tell us? And he says, you know, you've been with me all this time. Let me tell you, I am the way, the truth, and the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. Just do what I told you to do. Listen, you believe. Chapter 15, he says, now abide in me. Stay in me. Stay with me because I'm going to stay with you. And so on the good authority of the man who was the subject of some of the discourse in the upper room in chapter 13 to 14, who was listening to chapter 15 and chapter 16, and then ultimately Jesus prays in chapter 17 that God the Father would fulfill all the things that happened in 13, 14, 15, and 16. You should go back and read that for yourself this week. But watch this. One of the same men that was there later on writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter, he was present for all this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, watch, by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. He said, this is joy. He said, what Jesus was talking about in chapter 15, he said, what he was telling us was, it's going to be my pleasure to die to pay for your sins, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He was telling us in John chapter 15, if you abide in me, you can never be separated from me. In death or in life, who are, watch this, kept by the power of God. That's assurance about salvation verse right there. We're kept by the power of God. How are we kept? Because we're abiding in Christ. And Christ told us in John 14, he was going to send a comforter, and that comforter will be the Holy Spirit, and that because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can never be separated from that Spirit, because that Spirit is Jesus Christ's very own Spirit. Remember what I said? He ain't Peter Pan. He can't be separated from his shadow. God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, even years from now, even as the Lord tarries us coming to the year 3000, Jesus will still be abiding in me, and you will still be abiding in Christ. He says, watch this. He says, here's the reason for joy. Here's how we can have much joy, abide in much joy, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season. See, sometimes things can get bad, can't it? He said, right now you feel real joyous. See, joyful is not happy. Everybody wants to be happy. The little minions sing the song, happy, clap along if you feel. Happiness has many different variations. People can steal your happiness. But if you're a Christian, can't nobody steal your joy. He says, because if it's in a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Bad things happen. But watch, Peter, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, than that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, he's talking about the resurrection of Christ. He said, this is our joy. Now watch this. Whom having not seen, ye love. And whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, the joy of believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He says, the joy is that Christ filled the grave and that he emptied the grave. And in emptying the grave, he filled the believer with the Holy Spirit. Now we're abiding with one another. But watch this. Go back to John chapter 15. Peter's talking about that years later, but watch, because Jesus went on to say this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, there's abiding, there's blessings in obedience and staying with Jesus. Then he says, henceforth I call you, watch this, not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So when Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says the things that are coming in the last days, he remembers back to John 15. He says, you know, he told us that all these things are going to happen. He told us that we're his friends, and he let us know we don't have to be afraid because everything that's going to happen, he's in control of. So we can have joy. Maybe think about this. If I had another week, I would say the joy of believing is that if you're abiding, Jesus calls you his friend. Now, that's a high statement for the Son of God, the Son of Man, to call us his friend. He doesn't have, it's not normal for a king to be the friend of the common people. It's not normal for in that day and age for one of the gods to be messing with human beings, but for the God to say, I don't call you servants, but I call you friends. That's a big deal. You know, when you think about the joy of Jesus, I think about these little kids over there in junior church, and they still ask these questions. They might have been coming to church with each other for years now, and they'll still ask this question on a weekly basis. Are you still my friend? Here's the one that's real cute, because this is how little kids act. Are you my friend today? Because, you know, last week they was beefing. Last week somebody sat in the wrong seat or drank somebody's cup of juice in Sunday school and it didn't work out. And so you're not my friend anymore. And the next week they come back and they remember that and they say, are you my friend today? And, you know, little kids, yes, you're my friend today. Everything's all good. What they're asking is, are you still abiding with me? Are you still staying with me? Even though I'm sorry I drank your juice last week. You know, I think I'd be friends with everybody here. Miss Sherry brought me some Code Red Mountain Dew Zero. But if somebody were to drink my Code Red Mountain Dew Zero, we probably couldn't be friends no more. We probably break up, probably fall out, it's probably over. Like, I told Brandon and Nancy, y'all go into the refrigerator in the office, and if there's Code Red Zero in there, don't touch it. There's instant firing. You have all the water you want. If there's some Diet Coke or something in there, you know, you're welcome to sip on that. But if you go in there and you see Code Red Zero and you fix your lips to put it on that can, it better be worth being fired. That's all, I mean, serious business. It's not even business, it's business when it comes to that. But I know, I told you, I only have three. I'm not real good at illustrations, but I only really have three, sports, food, and music, and usually it's secular. But I was thinking about this. Some of y'all young people, y'all probably be like, man, them people are old. Why are they, what's that song? But I thought about this, and Jesus didn't write the song. But when I think about this verse, I think about this song, and I think, you know what? I don't think the people that sing the song, not all of them at least, I don't think they got a biblical view. But there's a biblical message behind it, if you think about Jesus. Some of y'all, old people, y'all going to be jamming here in a minute. Ready? I ain't going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. Keep smiling. Keep shining. Knowing you can always count on me. For sure. That's what friends are for. It said, for good times, for bad times. Knowing that I'll be on your side forevermore. And that's what friends are for. Now, in my mind, when I say that, I sound like Stevie Wonder. That's how I sound. In good times and bad times. That's how I sound in my head. But don't mind me. Don't mind me. That's just how it works in my head. But I think about that, and I think about the joy of believing and the joy of Jesus Christ and the joy, the ultimate joy, abiding in his fruit. We can abide in his fruit because, like my Uncle Cliff, if you're just abiding in that vine, you as a branch, you get benefits from that, some of the blessing from that. See, I got some friends in my life that if, because I'm still abiding in them, because I'm still with them, I get some of the blessings from it. Amen. And sometimes when I go out and I'm playing a game or I'm doing something and I know somebody that's got the ability in that and I'm with that person, it's better off in that way. Or some people that can help you out with something or do something. If I just abide, it's not because of what I'm getting from them. It's because I'm already abiding in them and what they got's already a blessing to me. Told you, man. You come to my house. First time you come, we're going to serve you. The second time, you better get it yourself. If you come for the second time, that means we're abiding. We're already friends. We've already stayed friends. We're already close. In church, we're already family. So you say, oh, Pastor, where's the restroom? Okay, the first time, I'll tell you where it's at. The second time, don't ask me, can I use your restroom? Just get up and go. You know where it's at? Pastor, can I get a glass of water? Going over and get it. You see the refrigerator and the faucet? That's what we got. You see that Brita on there? Some ice right there. Go ahead and get what you need. What you asking me? Do I look like Jeffrey? Old people. Do I look like Benson? Okay, now listen. I mean, you know, I'm about to get up, and get your food. They say that's not a very humble posture. No, it's not because of that. But I'm not calling you servants and I don't want you to call me servants. I called you friends. We're abiding together, and so we got the branch. If the cup and the water is there, you can get up and bear much fruit yourself. You don't need me to do it, because just staying around each other is abiding. Abide in much love. He says, I want you to love each other like the Father's loved me and like I've loved you. The Father loved Jesus so much. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Father didn't just talk audibly to people in the Bible, but he did it twice for Jesus, didn't he? Jesus' baptism at the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, hey, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Hey, he loved the three apostles up there, James, John, and Peter, they scared to death. Well, Lord, is it good that we're supposed to be here? We heard the voice of God, we're about to die. Let us build an altar. Let us build three altars, one for Moses and Elijah and for you, because we're about to die. God's up here talking, we heard him. I ain't one of them kind of preachers. I ain't never heard the voice of God audibly. But if I ever do, you think, you know how afraid I'd be? If God just came down and said, Bryson, he sounds like James Earl Jones to me again. In my mind, the voice of God is the same voice as Darth Vader. But anyway, if he called down, he said, Bryson, Lord, please don't strike me dead. Why are you talking to me? But see, he has so much love. But then Jesus, he said, but let me tell you, I'm going to have much love in you. You're going to have the same amount of love. See, this is what's hard. You have the same amount of love in you as he's abiding in you and you're abiding in him. You have the same amount of love in you that Jesus has for you. This man that laid down his life for his friends. You got that same love in you. That's why you got to remain in the vine and let the branch come out, because if that time ever comes, people think I'm joking about this, but if that time ever comes, and it's me or you, as the shepherd, I believe fully in my heart that I'll give my life for you. That I'll give myself a ransom so that you might live. Now, some of y'all that are older, I might be like, well, they had a good run. But for the rest of you, no. Abide in much joy. Friend, don't let anybody rob you of your joy. Jesus is in you. You're in him. Abide in him in the good times, in the bad times, when things are wrong, when things are right, when things could be better, when things are getting worse. Just remember that you are abiding. Stay. See, all those people that stopped following back in John chapter 6, all those that refused to abide and stay in him, they went the other way. They said, and they followed him no longer. They missed out on a lot of blessings, didn't they? They missed out on Jesus washing their feet. They missed out on Jesus prophesying that he would raise again the third day. They missed out. Watch this. this. They missed out on Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and sitting down at Bethany and having his feet anointed with hair and eating with Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead. Now Lazarus is at the dinner table eating macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes and green beans and fried chicken and whatever else they had in ancient Israel. And he's there. They missed out on all those things. They missed out on being in the upper room with Jesus Christ. And they missed out on Jesus Christ telling them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They missed out on being told, I'm the true vine. Y'all worried about Israel's divine, but there's coming a day where everybody's going to come to me in faith. They missed out on the high priestly prayer, Jesus praying for them. They missed out on those things because they refused to abide. Listen, if you abide in Jesus, there's joy. Even when you don't know there's joy, even when you can't see that there's joy in the Lord. There's joy forevermore. Abide in me as I abide in you. And there is much fruit. There is much love. There is much joy to the glory of God the Father. There's joy in believing in Jesus. Never let the world make it seem like it's too hard to follow Jesus Christ. Never let the world make it seem like it's too harsh to follow Jesus Christ or like it's too difficult to follow Jesus Christ. No, you remain in him and he will remain in you because there's joy in believing in Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I pray that you have the joy of the Lord upon you. If you're saved, he's already abiding in you. So the fruit is abiding in you. Much fruit. The love is abiding in you. Much love, his love. And the joy is abiding in you. Might be full. That it's an empty. You say, my joy has been empty. I'm an empty vessel. And Jesus says, wait till I just keep on filling it up. Wait till I fill that cup. That's why they say, and my cup overfloweth. That's where they get that from, part of it. Because my joy is full. My cup is full and it just keeps pouring over. That's just God keep giving me more blessing and more blessing and more blessing. See, it don't make no sense that we keep running that. If you saw your kid at the fountain and they were getting water and they just kept letting the water, all y'all old sticklers would say, stop wasting that water. It probably costs a fraction of a penny for them to run that water 2 more seconds and y'all mad about it. Stop running that water, you know. I can't even get into old country people. You can't be on the phone in a thunderstorm. Ain't got nothing to do. That's how they do. Young people, you just have to understand. Y'all don't understand landlines, but back in my day, if it was a thunderstorm, you could not be on that phone. Don't be near the phone. It was like a mortal sin to be near that phone. But listen, we say, it don't make no sense for us to just keep filling something that's already full, but Jesus says, I'm going to keep on filling it up like the fragments of the baskets. He said, I'm just going to keep on filling that food up. You know why? Because my joy is in you. My joy is filling up this vessel. It's filling up this net. It's just going to keep flowing and flowing. It's the perpetual buffet line. In heaven, the food never runs out. You go to Golden Crow, they say, where's all the coconut shrimps? It ain't going to happen in heaven. They just keep on refilling it and refilling it and refilling it. We went to Frisch's the other day, me and Brother Chuck and Brother Brandon, and we went up there, and they was out of the spaghetti on the salad bar, and they never did refill it. We ain't got to worry about it in heaven. They just keep refilling it. They got marinara. They got meat sauce. They got traditional. They got oregano's. They got garlic and herb. They got it all up there, and it just keeps overflowing and overflowing. Some of y'all going to get to heaven and be like, Pastor said there was spaghetti. Where's the spaghetti? Anyway, but it's overflowing and overflowing. And overflowing. All I'm saying is the joy never stops in Jesus. Amen. I pray you have joy this morning. Let's pray. Father God.